Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we will meet spine specialist Travis Williams with Iowa Ortho. Before we do, I have a few announcements I'd like to share. Today is Nurses Day and the kickoff to National Nurses Week. This week, we celebrate the power of nurses, and at Van Deest Medical Center, that power is on full display every single day. The power to comfort, the power to advocate, the power to heal. Our nurses are often the first to respond, the last to leave, and always the ones who make sure patients feel seen, heard, and cared for. To our incredible nursing team, thank you for the difference you make, not just in outcomes, but in lives. That's the power of nurses, and that's the heart of Van Deest Medical Center. One of the highlights to Nurses Week is the DAISY Award celebration. The DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses is part of a nationwide program that celebrates nurses who go above and beyond in their roles, demonstrating clinical skill, compassion, and a deep commitment to the well-being of others. At Van Deest Medical Center, we will honor all the nurses nominated at the DAISY Awards celebration being held this afternoon at 1:30, with one nurse selected for this year's award. The nominees for this year include Cindy Christensen from our inpatient department, Melissa Vaughn from the Surgery and Specialty Clinic Department, Amy Alcazar from the Inpatient Department, Kelly Elliott from the Emergency Department, Ian Willick from Van Deest Family Health Clinic in Fort Dodge, Alyssa Fox from the Inpatient Department, and Chris Foster with Mercy One Iowa Heart Center. Make sure you like us on Facebook and tune in live for the DAISY Awards celebration and announcement at 1:30 this afternoon. Also, a couple other events coming up next week that I want to mention. Once again, we have our Restore Us Care Ministry, and this is a support group that is meeting the second Tuesday of each month. From noon to 1, they will meet next Tuesday, May 12th. And this is for anyone who is navigating possibly the loss of a loved one, divorce, job loss, or any significant life transition. This group offers a compassionate space to be seen, heard, and supported. Again, I do want to mention next Tuesday, May 12th, the support group will meet from 12 to 1 in the hospital conference room at Van Deest Medical Center. This group is facilitated by Pastor Sarah Namukose with Asbury United Methodist Church. Also, the May Community Blood Drive in Webster City will be held next Thursday, May 14th, from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom. Appointments are encouraged. The easiest way to make an appointment is to go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org and schedule yours today. For all of our donors, they will receive a free cookie from Scooters here in Webster City, along with a 20% off coupon to be used at the gift shop at Van Deest Medical Center. Wonderful place to shop. You shop, they give. Again, the Webster City Community Blood Drive for the month of May will be held next Thursday, May 14th from 12:30 to 5:30. We have orthopedic physician assistant Travis Williams joining us from Iowa Ortho. Good morning, Travis, and welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, we sure appreciate you being on the show and excited to have your services at Van Deest Medical Center. Well, as we get started, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and share with our listeners your background and education?
Yeah, I've been a physician assistant for the last 5 years. I've worked at Iowa Ortho with Dr. Rosenthal for that entire five-year period. Prior to becoming a PA, I worked 8 years as an athletic trainer at different colleges, high schools, clinics, treating more acute injuries and in sports pathology. Decided to go back to school, become a PA, and started at Iowa Ortho.
Very good. What prompted you to make that move into orthopedics?
Specializing in orthopedics as a PA was prompted, you know, substantially from my previous experience as an athletic trainer. I'd always treated orthopedic injuries and ailments. And as you learn your PA education and go through training, you learn everything. So you learn blood pressure and diabetes and cardiac pulmonology type stuff. And then the awesome thing about a PA is you can focus on any specific area. You can be broad and be a primary care provider or work in the hospital. You can work in the ER. And I'd always kind of known going in with my background in orthopedics that that would be a great place for me. I was going to settle in Des Moines and was looking for opportunities, and Iowa Ortho had openings. I didn't necessarily know a ton from my time as an athletic trainer about spine pathology or radiculopathy type problems. It's usually more like ankles, knees, shoulders type stuff for athletics. I wanted to work with a doctor that I could feel comfortable with and had a good relationship with, and they recommended Dr. Rosenthal for me to work with. So I interviewed with him, and he accepted me as his PA. So that's where I got to spine. You have to learn a little bit on the job. So working with him in the first several years, he's teaching me how he reads an MRI and how he treats this condition and how he likes to handle things. So you kind of learn the basics in school, and then he brings you up to speed on how he wants to do it. And ideally, I'm kind of like a similar version of him. So that when a patient is matriculated through and needs to talk to him about a surgery, I would have done everything that he would have done up to that point.
You're kind of an extension.
Correct.
Yes, of his services. So very good. You know, and in healthcare in general is evolving all the time, but I'm sure in orthopedics and especially in spine care, just the evolution of how things are treated just changes all the time, even in the 5 years that you have been providing these services.
Certainly so. There, especially in the spine, there are a lot of different ways surgically to treat the same problems, different approaches from a surgery, different implants, different rationales on the extent or the size of a surgery. Some patients may go to multiple providers and get differing opinions on what's done. It's a little more cut and dry for a hip or a knee. You have arthritis, you treat the arthritis the same way. There's different implants you use, but more or less they're the same implant, just kind of different maker. But the spine is much more complicated.
Yes.
We focus a lot of our surgical interventions on minimally invasive type surgeries. So smaller incisions, smaller disruption of muscle and bone with the end goal of, you know, getting to the same result of treating radicular pain and treating the pathology we see.
Well, this is perfect to just roll right into talking about some of the services and procedures you perform for patients.
Dr. Rosenthal and I perform everything exactly the same in clinic. Obviously, when it comes to surgery, his hands perform the surgery. I assist him in what he needs. But in clinic, I order x-rays, interpret imaging, order MRIs, order medications, order epidural injections. So everything that you would expect from a spine specialist. The majority of the patients we see are probably in the fifth, sixth, seventh decade of life. As you have degeneration of your spine wear and tear, that's when a lot of the problems can come up. We certainly do see some younger people with like more acute disc herniations, active, working out, sports, had an acute injury and have a disc herniation, or sometimes young person in 30s, 40s, slept wrong, neck pain, arm pain, they have a disc herniation in their neck. But a lot of them are older who've have arthritis type pain for many years and now are experiencing more buttock or radicular pain.
Very good. Well, you're covering some of the information I definitely want to touch on as we go through the program. We talked a little bit about the spine kind of being its own animal, if you will. What advances have you seen in the treatment of spine issues since you've been practicing?
In the 5 years that I've been a PA, I don't know, there's a ton of advancement from like an understanding of things. Like I said previously, we do try to treat things more minimally invasive. And I think there are realizations that we don't need to be as maximalist as we used to be for the spine. One of the big sort of things I'll talk to patients about, you will, if you talk to enough people or you look on the internet enough, you'll find patients who have said, oh, I had spine surgery and it was terrible and I'm not any better after the surgery, or they know somebody who has that story. Yes. In the preceding 20 years, they were more aggressive in their treatment of spine problems and did a lot more fusions for a lot more reasons. The outcomes really haven't borne out that maybe that was a great idea, or maybe that was a little aggressive on how to treat people. So I think less is more sometimes, and certainly treating the right problems with the right surgeries is important. And that kind of goes back to like, if you see enough providers in the spine world, you may get different opinions. And most of the time the spine is kind of abstract, compared to like a hip, knee, shoulder, where you can kind of see it move. You kind of know how it works, you know how you use that part of your body, the spine in your neck or your lower back. You know, some people can't even, if you try to tell them, hey, point to where in your body that is, they don't even point to the right spot sometimes.
Right.
It's a little more deeper in your body, not as easy to sort of conceptualize in your mind.
Yeah, or even to pinpoint, because I'm sure like maybe where somebody is feeling the pain is not necessarily where the pain is generating, but it's moving and affecting other parts of their body.
Correct. Yeah, we often have some detailed discussions with patients to say, yeah, your pain is in your left buttock and in your left thigh. There's nothing wrong in your buttock or thigh. That's originating from your back. I know your back doesn't hurt necessarily, but that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Some people have a ton of back pain and no leg pain. And we generally tell those patients surgery may not be the best option for you. We're trying to treat like radicular type pain.
Mm-hmm. And when you say radicular type pain, maybe explain that.
Sure. So radicular pain just means nerve pain in the arm or the leg as a result of a nerve that's pinched in your neck or your lower back. So one of the most common problems we see would be like a disc herniation. So the disc material has extruded or sort of pushed backwards towards where the nerves are. As that nerve gets moved off its path or squished, it starts to send signals that normally wouldn't be sending, and that would then correspond to numbness, tingling, burning, aching, stabbing type symptoms in the arm or the leg. Every nerve has a predetermined sort of course that it's going to go to. So most of the time when I talk to a patient and they tell me where their pain is and I look at the MRI, it all maps out rather perfectly. Sometimes pain doesn't fit that normal distribution. Sometimes that flags us to think, why is that not occurring like we think it would. Obviously, not everybody's wired perfectly as the textbook says it should be. But typically, when everything matches up, then you're pretty confident, yep, everything here makes sense. Surgery may eliminate or treat this. Sometimes when the wires aren't sort of matching up, then you have a little more pause to think, man, is this going to alleviate all these problems? Is this going to be the best solution for a patient? We also treat stenosis. So stenosis just means narrowing of a tube. You can have stenosis in your arteries. You can have stenosis in your spine. When patients have stenosis in their lumbar spine, they typically have difficulty walking long distances. They get numbness, tingling, buttock type pain. They feel better when they sit down or lean forward on a shopping cart. They say, oh, I can sit all day long and have no issues, but if I get up and try to walk, then I have pain. So we treat problems like that. The stenosis that happens in your cervical spine will present a little bit differently. The symptoms are a little more sort of vague. So they'll have some balance difficulty usually. Sometimes their hands get a little clumsy and they drop things out of their hands. Sometimes they say, oh, my hands and kind of arms are just kind of numb occasionally. That one sometimes presents a little more late on for patients because they don't perceive that to be a problem that's coming from their neck. They may say, I'm getting older, my balance is a little bit worse, or, I think I got carpal tunnel and my hands are kind of numb all the time. But that's a problem that usually needs surgery, and therapies and medications usually don't treat very well. So that's something that that's the one condition that we would typically push a patient to say, hey, I think surgery is probably the best option sooner than later rather than trying conservative things.
Right.
Predominantly, we want to avoid surgery if possible. Surgery is the last option after you tried everything, nothing's working, and you're not, you know, satisfied or happy with your quality of life or function. Usually that conservative treatment is physical therapy, working on core strengthening. Sometimes they do nerve glide exercises. They do traction to kind of open up and decompress the spine. Some patients really prefer chiropractics as a conservative option. That can be a lot helpful for people in lieu of therapy or sort of in addition to therapy. We often use neuroleptic medications that treat nerve pain. So that's usually like gabapentin. And that can help with the numbness, tingling type nerve symptoms. And then we'll often refer people for epidural injections. So putting a steroid right on where the nerve is pinched.
Very good. So much great information, Travis. So I just was thinking as you were sharing this, the stenosis that you refer to, what causes that?
That's a wear and tear kind of degeneration type thing. It's not something that happens overnight. A disc herniation can happen immediately or kind of suddenly, but stenosis like that is decades of wear and tear. It could be repetitive activity, or it could be just, you know, stress and prolonged sitting or standing or inactivity.
So something to definitely get checked out if someone is hearing this and experiencing this, as just as you've described it, and they think, oh, well, that's me. So it might be appropriate to schedule an appointment.
It's always, you know, useful or wise to talk to your primary care doctor initially. If you have, you know, chronic back pain or new onset of symptoms, you can talk to your primary care doctor, start that conservative treatment kind of going right away. Once you've failed that conservative treatment, your primary care doctor can order the MRI. We're certainly happy to see patients with or without, you know, seeing their primary care doctor or having an MRI. Obviously, the more information we have, the more sort of in-depth of a recommendation or discussion we can have. If you don't have that advanced imaging like an MRI right away, sometimes the initial encounter is a little bit, you know, more brief and kind of surface level. Saying, yep, I think we should start conservative treatment. We'll see you back after that treatment, and then we'll kind of order advanced imaging. If we have more information, then we can kind of talk more in-depthly about, hey, what's going on in your spine? What other options do we have? That sort of thing.
Next steps. Right. Very good. You touched upon some patients that you see and their age group, but I don't know that we really have defined. What would you say are the demographics of your practice, the patients that you see?
I would say roughly 70 to 80% are probably retirement type age, 50s, 60s. Like I said, that's when that wear and tear degeneration has really kind of set in and taken its toll and been there long enough to cause symptoms. Mm-hmm. Occasionally you see the younger person, like I was describing, that had an acute episode of back pain, you know, working out, lifting, you know, yard work, simple type things. But a lot of it is older folks who've had some wear and tear, and kind of the typical story is I've had symptoms for, you know, many months and I thought I was going to get better. I've had back pain throughout my life, but this one hasn't gotten better. And now it feels a little more worse. And I can't, you know, I'm not rebounded mm-hmm. like I have with prior episodes. And then they say, I've had enough. I go to the doctor to be seen at that point.
Absolutely. So if I were to ask you about your practice philosophy, what would you share with listeners? What's important for patients to know about you and how you practice?
I certainly think you try to get a in-depth sort of understanding of what's bothering the patient. A lot of medicine sometimes is more symptom-driven or imaging-driven mm-hmm. than patient-driven. It's important to know what they're struggling with, what things they want to be able to do. I will reference sometimes two patients can have the exact same pathology, but one patient is maybe 10 or 15 years older and says, I don't care or need to be as active as I once was. I'm not concerned about my difficulty standing or walking long distances. Even though they have the same pathology, you treat them differently because they don't want to be as aggressive. They have other maybe some medical health issues that make them a higher risk candidate for a surgery or an intervention. What they're happy as can be with injections mm-hmm. and conservative treatment. Whereas somebody who may be a little bit younger and they say, oh, I love to travel and I can't walk through the airport. We've canceled hiking trips or canceled vacations because I can't walk or be as active. That's a bigger disruption to their quality of life and where they want to be. Mm-hmm. You treat that person, you know, maybe more aggressively if conservative treatment's not working for them enough.
Right. So different goals depending on their lifestyle and what they're hoping to gain. So do you have any general recommendations for our listeners regarding back pain or those that experience back issues?
The best general advice is probably not revolutionary information to people. Mm-hmm. Maintaining a healthy weight is substantially beneficial for your back. That's easier said than done for a lot of people. Smoking has a big effect on disc health. So people who've smoked for years will have much more degeneration of their discs in their neck and their lower back. That may make pathology more severe when we need to treat it. Smoking and nicotine also affect healing and fusion rates. So sometimes if a patient is smoking, we cannot perform the surgery they would need because their ability to heal would be quite diminished and they would have to be nicotine free before going on to something. So those are probably the two biggest things. Obviously, staying healthy, staying active. The core is supporting your back. And if your core has been out to lunch for 20 or 30 years, now your back is taking all that stress. And if you tune up the core and strengthen things, then the back sees less stress. Even though you don't change the pathology on imaging, the symptoms get better because less stress is being, you know, absorbed or sort of taken by your back.
Right. Great tips, great information to share. Thank you, Travis. So I want to ask, when you're not seeing patients, what do you like to do in your free time?
Oh, typically we're following kids around to athletic events, basketball and soccer games and flag football events. Typically like to be outside, you know, with my family, riding bikes or enjoying the weather, playing sports, golfing when the weather's nice. So usually something with family, something outdoors.
Well, it's getting to be that time. So that's probably where you're spending the majority of your time. Any last information you wish to share with our listeners?
If you're having an issue with back pain, neck pain, nerve pain down the arm or the leg, we're happy to see you, happy to evaluate it and kind of give you our recommendations on what we think would be best to either alleviate or eliminate kind of what you're feeling.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Travis. I do want to remind listeners, Travis Williams sees patients at Van Deese Medical Center on the fourth Wednesday morning of each month. To schedule an appointment, you can call our specialty clinic department at 515-832-7746. Travis, thanks again for being on the program, and we certainly appreciate having your services here at our hospital.
Thank you.
All right. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.